Hello again, everyone. This is once again Jonathan, here to talk a little bit about the Seattle sports scene. So, on Sunday, this past Sunday, the Seahawks played the Cleveland Browns, and we won, which is always a good thing when the Seahawks win, in my opinion. It was a tough game. Cleveland, the city of Cleveland is going to say that the officiating won us the game, but in my opinion, it was Russell Wilson who won the game. He was phenomenal. He threw for 2 passing touchdowns and ran for 1 touchdown. He had a QBR of 118, and he was just able to do it all. He was able to command the offense at a mastery level, and even one drive, his radio in the helmet went off, so he was able to make up all the plays himself and call the plays without any of the help of the coaches. That is Pro Bowl Hall of Fame level quarterbacking right there. I was happy to see that. On the other side of the ball, the defense was a little less great. It was shaky at times, but it benefited from, actually I think it was 4 turnovers from the Cleveland offense. Baker Mayfield did not look sharp at all as he threw 3 pretty inexcusable picks, and we also benefited from 1 fumble from the running back. The game overall did not start in the Seahawks' favor. We ended up trailing by 15 points at one point, 21-6. But as the Seahawks been known to do, we made the comeback. And that comeback started around halftime, and it just continued throughout the rest of the game. Russell Wilson is playing like an MVP. Let's be honest, he has 17 touchdowns to no interceptions. He's second in the league in QBR with a QBR of 80. And somehow, Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys has a higher QBR of 82. I don't really know how that's possible because he seems to be not as playing as well as Russell Wilson. But that's neither here or there, as I like Russell Wilson to pretty much any other quarterback in the entire league. And I would be remiss to not point out the fact that our running back, Chris Carson, once again was dominant. He had a career high of 124 yards and 1 touchdown. He is on pace for well over 1,000 yards on the season. His second straight 1,000-yard season, which is pretty respectable if you're a starting running back in the NFL. And one of the things going into the season that I was a little bit worried about is, do we have enough proven receivers on the outside? Because other than Tyler Lockett, none had really played before. I am not quite as worried about that now because everyone seems to be stepping up, even Jerron Brown, who has struggled for most of the beginning of the season. Tyler Lockett, as we know, is a Pro Bowl caliber running back. He seems to make all the plays necessary, and he seems to have a good rapport with Russell Wilson. But other than him, DK Metcalf is just stepping up big. He had a couple big catches towards the end of the game that was really crucial in sealing the victory for the Seahawks. And overall, on the season, he has about 12 receptions and 2 touchdowns, which is not great, but for a starting rookie receiver, it's pretty good because being a receiver is widely regarded as being a tough transition position from the college ranks to the NFL ranks. So, by all means, he's doing a great job. Unfortunately, we did lose one of the better tight ends in the league with Will Disley going down for the season with what I'm guessing as being a torn Achilles heel. And watching the injury live, it did not seem like a bad injury, as he just seemed to stumble and then he just simply couldn't get up. The unfortunate part about it is that he missed the majority of the season last year with a torn patella tendon. So he has had two promising starts to the season in his 2 years in the NFL, but they've unfortunately been cut short with injuries. And kind of freak injuries at that. Neither injury's really been lingering. It's just an unfortunate situation, and obviously we hope the best recovery for him. But with that being said, other people have to step up in his absence. The former Seahawk, Luke Wilson, was re-signed by the Seahawks a couple weeks ago, and Ed Dixon, another tight end, is coming off injured reserve in 2 weeks, so there should be more help coming to that position. Now let's kind of talk about longevity in the season, because even though we are 5-1 and looking great for our playoff hopes, I'm starting to get concerned that it's not as sustainable as we might hope, because Russell Wilson, in my opinion, is doing everything. Our defense is not like it once was, as our secondary once again had a rough game in Cleveland, and our defensive line seems unable to get any pressure on the quarterback, no matter the offensive line they go up against. Now, this might be aided by the fact that one of our better defensive players just came back from a 6-game suspension to start the 2019 season. Jerron Brown is a defensive tackle who had 10.5 sacks last season for the Seahawks. So I am curious to see what kind of shape he's in. Or let me rephrase that, what kind of football shape he's in and what kind of impact he will make the first couple of weeks of the season. Because usually it takes a couple weeks to get your body acclimated to the game because of the roughness of the game in general. Well, what I'm saying is that it has the possibility of getting better, but as a whole, our secondary needs to get better. Our edge rushers need to get better in order to maintain the level of success that the Seahawks are experiencing right now, because Russell Wilson, as great as he is, will not be able to continue at the level of play as he is right now. And if he is, it'll go down as one of the greatest seasons by a quarterback of all time. And once again, that's my opinion, but I think that it will be widely regarded as one of the greatest seasons by a quarterback of all time. Now let's shift our attention to the Washington Huskies. The Huskies got the win last week on Saturday night against the University of Arizona Wildcats, and we looked much better than what we did against Stanford. Our offense seemed more in sync as we ended up scoring 51 points, but once again it was slow coming out of the gates. We were trailing, I believe, by 4 points going into halftime, the score 17-13, and it was looking like it was going to end up as another sluggish performance by the offense. But we ended up scoring 38 points in the second half of the ball game, which was greatly needed, and we were able to get back up into the top 25 at number 25. Now, looking ahead, more challenging task in Oregon, who we play next week. Oregon is considered the best team in the Pac-12, and they're ranked number 11. They are 5-1 with a quarterback that has all the measurables to succeed in the NFL. This game is at home, so we do have home field advantage, but it's going to be a tough game nonetheless. Our defense, offense, special teams are going to have to play very good football. And to be honest, we haven't really seen that as of yet for the 2019 Huskies. I heard something on the radio last week that suggested that it was a bridge year for the Washington Huskies, and that suggests that maybe the talent hasn't been developed enough on the defensive side of the ball to fully be contenders in the league. This is a good and bad thing because the suggestion implies that it is going to be good enough at some point, but it's not as good now. We, like I said yesterday, we have one of the most talented quarterbacks in the nation and one of the most talented quarterbacks that have been in the program for the past 17, 18, 19, 20 years. So it's kind of disheartening to know that this year is wasted because I have a feeling that he's not going to be back for another year with the Huskies as he too projects well into the NFL. But I might be getting ahead of myself because there's still a lot more games to be, many more games to be played this year, and really anything could happen. We could still have a chance to win the Pac-12, even though the odds are against us. Switching back our attention to the Seahawks, we play the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday, and it'll be the first time that Earl Thomas returns to CenturyLink as a member of another team. He did not leave in the best way, in my opinion, last year, as the lasting image that many of the Seahawks fans have of him was when he flipped off the Seattle coach Pete Carroll as when he was getting carted off the field because of an injury. And he did this because he felt like the coach wasn't being truthful, because he was under the impression that he was going to get paid by the Seahawks, but he ended up not getting that payday that he was looking for from the Seahawks. So, fast forward a couple months, he's now a member of the Baltimore Ravens, and they're off to a decent start. They're off to a 4-2 start, but the consensus is that he's not playing quite as well as what he once played as in a Seahawks uniform. The defense as a whole is a little bit worse than what the 2014-15 Seahawks defense played like. And on the offensive side of the ball for the Baltimore Ravens, they have a good quarterback, Lamar Jackson, who is one of the best running quarterbacks since Michael Vick. He seemingly can do anything that he wants to running-wise on the football field, which is kind of rare for a quarterback because typically when we think of a quarterback, we think of a person or a player that can stand in the pocket and throw the ball. But anytime you can get a player that can do both, It just adds one more element to your offense and one more element that the defense has to plan for. So he's off to a great start of the season and his career in general. Going in the offseason, he wanted to improve his passing, his accuracy in his passing skills, and he seems to have done that. He is not viewed as quite as a prolific passer as Russell Wilson, but he is getting there slowly, and as time progresses, I think he has a chance of getting there. The Ravens also have a phenomenal running game, as last year they led the league in, or they were second in the league in rushing, and this year they're second in the league in rushing as well. Now, if you are a Seahawks fan, you kind of understand that this is the type of game that we are accustomed to losing. It, we just came off of a huge win in Cleveland, so we might still be riding high from that. And on paper, we have a good chance of winning the game, but we might not be ready for what is about to occur. I feel like these letdown games have occurred more since the dominant years of 2014-15, when our defense was one of the best in the league consistently. But I might be overly pessimistic, and we will see what Russell Wilson has in store for us, because I have a feeling that it's going to be something pretty special. Lastly, let's switch our focus to the MLB. The Washington Nationals swept the St. Louis Cardinals in the NLCS, the National League Championship Series, and they advanced into the World Series. And before this year, the Washington Nationals and the Seattle Mariners were the only two teams to ever not been to the World Series. So now, the Seattle Mariners are currently the only team to never been to the World Series. And as a lifelong Mariners fan, this is, once again, disheartening. I touched upon kind of what it's like to be a Mariners fan last week, but let's do it again, because it just never seems to get to stop getting worse. It's, being a Mariner means consistently being let down by your own team. Even when you win 116 games, you seemingly can't even advance into the World Series. We won 116 games in 2001, and we were beaten in the ALCS by the New York Yankees. Now, 116 games has only been done one other time. So we were historically good that season, and we still couldn't make it into the World Series. That frustration and overall depression should just let you know what it's like to truly be a Mariners fan. It's unlike anything else in sports, really. But luckily, we have other teams like the Seattle Storms, the WNBA team in town, who consistently produce championship teams. We have the Seahawks and the Sounders. So there are enough good teams to, I guess, go around in the city of Seattle and the Pacific Northwest area. But I have hope that the Mariners are going to be pulled out of the doldrums eventually and are able to produce a quality baseball team. Anyway, once again, thank you for tuning in. Once again, I'm Jonathan. Listen next week. Thank you very much.